Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in the next two half-hour segments, we're going to be talking about connections between the Unification Church of Reverend Sun Myung Moon and former President George Bush and the moral majority of Reverend Jerry Falwell. As discussed in archive shows such as RFA 11 and a miscellaneous archive show entitled Japanese Fascism, Its History and Significance for Contemporary Americans, both of those, by the way, available from Spitfire, I discussed not only the Japanese Patriotic and Ultranationalist Societies, which helped to bring fascism to Japan, but also similarities between the Japanese Patriotic and Ultranationalist Societies and the Unification Church of Reverend Moon. Although superficially and nominally Korean, in fact, many of the most important connections of the Unification Church are not only Japanese, but constitute connections between the church and Japanese fascism. A detailed discussion would be too long for the present format, but again, the archive shows RFA 11 and the miscellaneous archive show Japanese Fascism, Its History and Significance for Contemporary Americans, both of those available from Spitfire, discuss those connections in considerable detail. It's important to remember, though, that the Unification Church, in many ways, represents a modern manifestation of Japanese fascism. We're going to be hearing information from the One Step Beyond show of Sunday, December 7th of 1997. And specifically, I'm going to be excerpting an article from IF Magazine, and that's IF Magazine's issue of September and October of 1997, Volume 1, Number 2. The article I'm excerpting is the cover story of IF Magazine's issue of September and October of 1997. That story is by Robert Perry, P-A-R-R-Y, and it's entitled The Dark Side of Reverend Moon. The excerpt you're about to hear comes from part one entitled Hooking George Bush.
Last fall, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon's latest foray into the high-priced world of media and politics was in trouble. South American journalists were writing scathingly about Moon's plan to open a regional newspaper that the 77-year-old founder of the Korea-based Unification Church hoped would give him the same influence in Latin America that the ultra-conservative Washington Times had in the United States. As opening day ticked closer for Moon's Tiempos del Mundo, leading South American newspapers were busy recounting unsavory chapters of Moon's history, including his links to South Korea's feared intelligence service, the KCIA, and his ties to neo-fascists in South America. One Argentine publication, Clarín, capital C-L-A-R-I-N, reported that Moon's Tong Il firm had supplied automatic weapons to Latin armies during some of the most brutal counterinsurgency wars. By the way, as we looked at in RFA number 7, Tong Il Industries also manufactures the M16 rifle on contract for the South Korean army. Continuing. The newspaper also reported that Moon's operatives had assisted in the infamous cocaine coup, which saw drug lords seize control of Bolivia in 1980 with the help of Nazi war criminal Klaus Barbie and younger right-wing terrorists. By the way, the cocaine coup discussed in, among other programs, RFAs 19 and 27. Continuing. During that same period, amid widespread human rights abuses in Argentina and Uruguay, Moon had used friendships with the military dictators there to invest heavily in those two countries. Moon was such a pal of the Argentine dirty war generals that he garnered an honorary award for siding with the junta in the Falklands War. More recently, Moon had been buying large tracts of agricultural lands in Paraguay. On November 19, 1996, La Nación reported that Moon had discussed these business ventures with Paraguay's ex-dictator Alfredo Stroessner, S-T-R-O-E-S-S-N-E-R, whose 34-year reign was best known for harboring Nazi war criminals. Moon's disciples fumed about the critical stories and accused the Argentine news media of trying to sabotage the newspaper's inaugural gala in Buenos Aires on November 23rd. Quote, "The local press was trying to undermine the event," unquote, complained the church's internal newsletter, Unification News. Given the public controversy and the Catholic Church's objections to Moon, Argentina's elected president, Carlos Menem, decided to reject Moon's invitation. But Moon had a trump card to play in his bid for South American respectability, the endorsement of an ex-president of the United States, George Bush. Agreeing to speak at the newspaper's launch, Bush flew aboard a private plane, arriving in Buenos Aires on November 22nd. Bush stayed at Menem's official residence, the Olivos, that's capital O-L-I-V-O-S. But Bush failed to change the Argentine president's mind. Still, Moon's followers gushed that Bush had saved the day as he stepped before about 900 Moon guests at the Sheraton Hotel. Quote, Mr. Bush's presence as keynote speaker gave the event invaluable prestige, wrote the Unification News. Father, Reverend Moon, and mother, Mrs. Moon, his wife, sat with several of the true children, Moon's offspring, just a few feet from the podium. Unquote. By the way, those references, father, mother, and the true children, are the standard Unification Church's terms for Reverend Moon, or for Sun Myung Moon, his wife, and their offspring. Continuing. Bush lavished praise on Moon and his journalistic enterprises. Quote, I want to salute Reverend Moon, who is the founder of the Washington Times and also of Tiempos del Mundo, Bush declared. A lot of my friends in South America don't know about the Washington Times, but it's an independent voice. The editors of the Washington Times tell me that never once has the man with the vision interfered with the running of the paper, a paper that, in my view, brings sanity to Washington, D.C. I am convinced that Tiempos del Mundo is going to do the same thing, unquote, in Latin America. Bush then held up the colorful new newspaper and complimented several articles, including one flattering piece about Barbara Bush. Bush's speech was so effusive that it surprised even Moon's followers. Quote, once again, heaven turned a disappointment into a victory, the Unification News exulted, again quoting, everyone was delighted to hear his compliments. We knew he would give an appropriate and nice speech, but praise in Father's presence was more than we expected. It was vindication. We could just hear a sigh of relief from heaven, unquote. Bush's endorsement of the Washington Times' editorial independence also was not truthful. Almost since it opened in 1982, a string of senior editors and correspondents have resigned, citing the manipulation of the news by Moon and his subordinates. The first editor, James Whalen, capital W-H-E-L-A-N, resigned in 1984, confessing to, quote, blood on my hands, unquote, for helping the church achieve greater legitimacy. But Bush's boosterism was just what Moon needed in South America. The day after, unquote, the Unification News observed, again quoting, the press did a 180-degree about-turn once they realized that the event had the support of a U.S. president, unquote. With Bush's help, Moon had gained another beachhead for his worldwide business, religious, political, media empire. After the event, Menem told reporters from La Nación that Bush had claimed privately to be only a mercenary who did not really know Moon. Quote, Bush told me he came and he charged money to do it, unquote, Menem said. But Bush was not telling Menem the whole story. By last fall, Bush and Moon had been working in political tandem for possibly two decades. The ex-president also had been moonlighting as a frontman for Moon for more than a year. In September of 1995, George and Barbara Bush gave six speeches in Asia for the Women's Federation for World Peace, a group led by Moon's wife, Hak Jahan Moon. Her name, by the way, is capital H-A-K, capital J-A, capital H-A-N, and then Moon. In one speech on September 14th to 50,000 Moon supporters in Tokyo, Bush insisted that, quote, what really counts is faith, family, and friends, unquote. Mrs. Moon followed the ex-president to the podium and announced that, quote, it has to be Reverend Moon to save the United States, which is in decline because of the destruction of the family and moral decay. And by the way, bear in mind this particular statement, because among the many sins that one could accurately lay at the doorstep of the Moon Organization is profound, marrow-deep hypocrisy. We're going to hear a little bit about not only some of the corruption inside of the Moon Organization, but in particular some of the, what I guess one could term, Moon family values. We're going to hear about what actually goes on within the true family, so to speak. This quote, once again, actually let me repeat the last several sentences. At this, by the way, a Bush address to the Women's Federation for World Peace, an organization led by Moon's wife. Bush insisted that, quote, what really counts is faith, family, and friends, unquote. Mrs. Moon followed the ex-president to the podium and announced that, quote, it has to be Reverend Moon to save the United States, which is in decline because of the destruction of the family and moral decay. That, by the way, reported in the Washington Post, September 15th, 1995. Continuing. In the summer of 1996, Bush was lending his prestige to Moon again. Bush addressed the Moon-connected Family Federation for World Peace in Washington, an event that gained notoriety when comedian Bill Cosby tried to back out of his contract after learning of Moon's connection to the event. Bush had no such qualms. Throughout these public appearances, Bush's office has refused to divulge how much Moon-affiliated organizations have paid the ex-president. But estimates of Bush's fee for the Buenos Aires appearance alone ran between $100,000 and $500,000. Sources close to the Unification Church have put the total Bush-Moon package in the millions, with one source telling me that Bush stood to make as much as $10 million. Moon may have bought more than Bush's flattery, too. A senior Argentine official who asked not to be identified by name said Bush's intervention opened the door for a private meeting between Moon and Menem to discuss Moon's business ventures. Bush and Moon may have other joint business interests as well. On November 16, 1996, La Nación quoted local businessmen as saying that Bush and Moon were keeping an eye on plans to privatize the hydroelectric complex of Yaquirita, a joint $12 billion Paraguayan-Argentine project to dam the Parana River. That name, by the way, is capital Yacyreta. Continuing. Still, the Bush-Moon alliance is not strictly about money, and it did not start in Bush's post-presidency. According to U.S. officials interviewed in Washington and an Argentine press report in the magazine Noticias, November 30th of 1996, Bush and Moon began their symbiotic relationship in 1976 when Bush was CIA director and Moon was emerging as a funder for anti-communist organizations from Asia to South America. Though much of that history remains murky, the Bush-Moon nexus certainly had formed by the start of the Reagan-Bush era, when Moon was a VIP guest at the inauguration in 1981. By the way, among the other honored guests at Ronald Reagan's inauguration, Licio Gelli, the Grand Master of the Propaganda Due Lodge in Italy, a Masonic lodge that has actually served as what was in effect a crypto-fascist government, which controlled Italian political life for much of the 60s, 70s, and 1980s. Gelli, an ardent supporter of Mussolini, was also a Waffen-SS officer and a prime mover and shaker in clandestine world power politics over much of the past several decades. His nickname in Italian politics was the Puppet Master. We've dealt with Licio Gelli in the P2 in numerous archive shows, including RFA programs 18 through 21. Continuing. Though much of that history remains murky, the Bush-Moon nexus was certainly formed by the start of the Reagan-Bush era, when Moon was a VIP guest at the inauguration in 1981. The linkage also could extend into the next century, as the ex-president works to shore up conservative support for his eldest son, Texas Governor George W. Bush, who is expected to run for the White House in 2000. By the way, the fact that, George Bush Jr., is considered the front runner, or is even considered a viable possibility for the Republican nomination in the year 2000, says a great deal for not only American political awareness, but for American political memory. After all of the things that George Bush has been involved in, ranging from the Iran-Contra scandal, the arming of Iraq, the looting of the savings and loans, Bush deeply implicated in much of the Iran-Contra-related drug traffic, not just the cocaine trade in Latin America, but also the hiring of Manzar El-Kassar by Oliver North. Manzar El-Kassar, a weapons dealer and terrorist extraordinaire, implicated in not only in the bombing of Pan Am 103, but the Achille Lauro hijacking. He was the main individual involved with securing East Bloc weapons for the Contras and for acquiring American weapons for the Iranians. He also was credited by the DEA with bringing 20% of the heroin that is imported into the United States each year. Bear in mind that Manzar El-Kassar was put on the White House payroll. And the real mover and shaker in the Iran-Contra scandal, according to many observers, was none other than the former CIA director George Bush. Continuing. Oh, by the way, as I was saying, the fact that George Jr. could be considered front-runner for the White House speaks volumes for the sorry state of American politics. That name should resonate with the American voters like Adolf Hitler Jr. He shouldn't be considered even a viable possibility. But that, sadly, is the case, and it remains to be seen whether George Jr. follows George Sr. into the White House. Continuing. Sources close to Bush say the ex-president has worked hard to pull well-to-do conservatives and their money behind his son's candidacy. Without doubt, Moon is one of the deepest pockets in right-wing circles, having financed more conservative activists, having financed important conservative activists from both the religious right, such as the Reverend Jerry Falwell, and inside the Beltway right-wing professionals. A silent testimony to Moon's clout is the fact that his vast spending of secretive Asian money to influence U.S. politics, spanning nearly a quarter century, has gone virtually unmentioned amid the current controversy over Asian donations to U.S. politicians. With unintended irony, Moon's Washington Times repeatedly has featured stories about secret Asian money going to Democrats. The Times even has baited other news organizations to be more aggressive in chasing down the Asian dollar sources. But in Moon's case, the Asian connection is especially relevant because of scandals surrounding his early activities in America. U.S. law enforcement and intelligence agencies monitored the church in the 1960s and 1970s, considering it a potential national security threat to the United States. Internal reports by the CIA, the FBI, and Defense Intelligence Agency painted a picture of a secretive religion with close ties to the KCIA, as well as to prominent right-wing industrialists linked to the Japanese mob, the Yakuza. That's spelled Y-A-K-U-Z-A. By the way, a point that I want to interject at this point. Note here that elements of U.S. law enforcement and the intelligence community were monitoring the Unification Church in the 1960s and 70s, including CIA, the FBI, and the Defense Intelligence Agency, because it was considered a potential national security threat to the United States. Note that other elements of U.S. intelligence, such as the Bush and Reagan-connected elements, have worked with the Unification Church. When I talk about the national security establishment and the intelligence community in this country, I use the term elements, like if I refer to elements of U.S. intelligence that are implicated in international terrorist incidents or elements of U.S. intelligence that are implicated in the drug traffic. The fact that some elements work with the Unification Church and others have monitored it and have waved warning flags that it could represent a potential national security threat to the U.S. Underscores the complexities of dealing with national security matters. The U.S. National security and intelligence apparatus are anything but monolithic. There are relatively disparate elements involved in the U.S. national security establishment, and many of them work at cross purposes. Many of them don't even necessarily know what the others are doing. I think it's very important to avoid oversimplification when one is dealing, well, period, but in particular in dealing with U.S. national security matters. Because again, as I have stressed repeatedly, the U.S. intelligence system and the U.S. national security establishment are not monolithic. And the ambivalence shown by the and intelligence apparatus as a whole to the Moon organization, I think, underscores the complexities of analysis under the circumstances, beginning with this passage again. But in Moon's case, the Asian connection is especially relevant because of scandals surrounding his early activities in America. U.S. law enforcement and intelligence agencies monitored the church in the 1960s and 70s, considering it a potential national security threat to the United States. Internal reports by the CIA, the FBI, and Defense Intelligence Agency painted a picture of a secretive religion with close ties to the KCIA, as well as to prominent right-wing industrialists linked to the Japanese mob, the Yakuza. In the late 70s, a congressional investigation drew on these reports in tying the Unification Church to, quote, Koreagate, unquote, an influence-buying scheme directed by the KCIA against American targets. Investigators traced the church's chief sources of money to bank accounts in Japan, but could follow the cash no further. By the way, the individual who presided over the Koreagate, quote, investigation, unquote, was none other than Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski, a member of the board of directors of the MD Anderson Fund, a prominent CIA domestic funding conduit. He was in charge of the military prosecutorial staff at Nuremberg. He also was a Warren Commission counsel and was in charge with seeing whether Lee Harvey Oswald had any intelligence connections, concluded that he had none. In fact, Oswald had numerous intelligence connections. So again, note the role of that very, very special prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, in the Koreagate scandal. We discussed the Koreagate scandal and Jaworski in RFA number 7. And Koreagate will be touched on later during the course of the discussion. Continuing. In the late 1970s, a congressional investigation drew on these reports in tying the Unification Church to Koreagate, an influence-buying scheme directed by the KCIA against American targets. Investigators traced the church's chief sources of money to bank accounts in Japan, but could follow the cash no further. When I inquired about the vast fortune that the Unification Church has poured into its American operations, the church's chief spokesman refused to divulge dollar amounts for any of Moon's activities. Quote, "Each year, the church retains an independent accounting firm to do a national audit and produce an annual financial statement," wrote church legal representative Peter D. Ross. Quote, "While this statement is used in routine financial transactions by the church, it is not my policy to make it otherwise available," unquote. Ross also refused to pass on interview requests to Moon and other church leaders. For years, church officials have maintained that the money comes from U.S. fundraising and from varied businesses ranging from machine manufacturing to tuna fishing. But my interviews with half a dozen former senior church figures found solid agreement at the expense of just keeping the Washington Times afloat, a figure that one ex-leader put at $100 million plus a year, far exceeds what the church generates in the United States. The newspaper and its sister publications, Insight and The World and I, have cost Moon an estimated $1 billion or more in losses over the past 15 years. Moon's jingle of deep pocket cash also has caused many conservatives to turn a deaf ear towards Moon's recent anti-American diatribes. And note here again that not only the role of the Moon Organization in American political and national security life, its role in the American far right, but its role in the Christian right wing as well, and note the overt and explicit anti-Americanisms. And the tone of the Moon Organization here. Beginning again with this passage. Moon's jingle of deep pocket cash also has caused many conservatives to turn a deaf ear toward Moon's recent anti-American diatribes. With growing virulence, Moon has denounced the United States and its democratic principles, often referring to America as, quote, satanic, unquote. But these speeches have gone unreported, even though the texts of some sermons are carried on the Internet, and their timing coincided with Bush's warm endorsements of Moon. Quote, "America has become the kingdom of individualism, and its people are individualists," unquote, Moon preached in one sermon in Tarrytown, New York, on March 5, 1995. Quote, "You must realize that America has become the kingdom of Satan," unquote. In similar remarks to followers on August 4, 1996, Moon vowed that the church's eventual dominance over the United States would be followed by the liquidation of American individualism. Quote, "Americans who continue to maintain their privacy and extreme individualism are foolish people," unquote, Moon declared, again quoting, "The world will reject Americans who continue to be so foolish. Once you have this great power of love, which is big enough to swallow entire America, there may be some individuals who complain inside your stomach. However, they will be digested," unquote. During the same sermon, Moon decried assertive American women. Quote, "American women have the tendency to consider that women are in the subject position," he said. Quote, "However, women's shape is like that of a receptacle. The concave shape is a receiving shape, whereas the convex shape symbolizes giving. Since man contains the seed of life, he should plant it in the deepest place. Does woman contain the seed of life?" Followers holler, "No." And then Moon goes on, "Absolutely not. Then, if you desire to receive the seed of life, you have to become an absolute object. In order to qualify as an absolute object, you need to demonstrate absolute faith, love, and obedience to your subject. Absolute obedience means that you have to negate yourself 100%. And by the way, the weird sexual practices of Moon and also the Unification Church will be discussed a little bit later. He sort of began as a kind of a weird sex cultist. Very, very interesting individual to be assuming the prominence that he has on the American far right and the Christian right wing in particular. Continuing, on May 1st, 1997, Moon told a group of followers that, quote, "The country that represents Satan's harvest is America," unquote. These pronouncements contrast with Moon's praise of the United States disseminated for public consumption during his early forays to Washington. On September 18, 1976, at a flag-draped rally at the Washington Monument, Moon said, quote, "The United States of America transcending race and nationality, is already a model of the unified world, unquote. He called America, again quoting, the chosen nation of God, unquote, and added that, again quoting, I not only respect America, but truly love this nation, unquote. Yet, even as Moon has soured on America, his recruiters continue to use that flag drape scene of the Washington Monument to lure new followers. The patriotic image struck powerfully with John Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y, when the college freshman watched a video of that speech while undergoing Unification Church recruitment in 1992. American flags were everywhere, recalled Stacy, a thin young man from central New Jersey. Again quoting, the first video that they showed me was Reverend Moon praising America and praising Christianity, unquote. In 1992, Stacy considered himself a patriotic American and a faithful Christian. He soon joined the Unification Church. Stacy became a Pacific Northwest leader in Moon's Collegiate Association for the Research of Principles, or CARP. Quote, they like to hang me up because I'm young and I'm American, Stacy told me, again quoting, it's a good image for the church. They try to create the all-American look, where now I think they're usurping American values, that they're anti-American, unquote. I don't think there could be a whole lot of doubt about that. Continuing. At a 1995 leadership conference at a church compound in Anchorage, Alaska, Stacy met face-to-face with Moon, who was sitting on a throne-like chair while a group of American followers, many middle-aged converts from the 1970s, sat at his feet like children. Reverend Moon looked at me straight in the eye and said, quote, America is satanic. America is so satanic that even hamburgers should be considered evil because they come from America, recalled Stacy. Again quoting, hamburgers. My father was a butcher, so that bothered me. I started feeling that I was betraying my country, unquote. Moon's criticism of Jesus also unsettled Stacy, quote, in the church, it's very anti-Jesus, Stacy said, again quoting, Jesus failed miserably, that parenthetically I would add according to the church, the Unification Church's teachings. He died a lonely death. Reverend Moon is the hero that comes and saves pathetic Jesus. Reverend Moon is better than God. That's why I left the Moonies, because it started to feel like idolatry. He's promoting idolatry.
That passage again, or that excerpt, was from the One Step Beyond show of December 7th, 1997, and that in turn was excerpted from IF Magazine's issue of September and October of 1997. IF Magazine is put out by the Media Consortium. They can be reached at Suite 102-231, 2200 Wilson Boulevard, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. They also have an 800 number, 800-738-1812. We're going to continue with an analysis of the connection between the Unification Church and the American far right in the next half-hour segment. That concludes this segment. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.